Jeremiah 42 here, let me just quickly wrap up what the chapter was about before I get into what I want to preach about. Basically, all these people, all these leaders of the children of Judah, they come to Jeremiah, and if you understand the context of the book of Jeremiah, these guys had done a lot of wicked things in the past, and they had led the people astray. They'd led them away from serving God and from worshiping God. But they've kind of had a change of heart, it seems like, at the beginning of the chapter, because they come to Jeremiah at the beginning of chapter 42, and they say, look, we're ready to obey God. We want to do what God wants us to do. We've had a change of heart. And so we want you to pray to God for us and see what He wants us to do. And whatever you tell us to do, whatever He says, we're going to do it. We're going to obey the voice of the Lord this time. Look down, if you would, at your Bible in Jeremiah 42. It says in verse 2, and they said to Jeremiah the prophet, let, we pray thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many as thine eyes do behold, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, listen to these people, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So these people are saying, look, we don't care what he says. Ask God what we're going to do, good, bad, evil, we'll do it. We will obey. We want to do what's right. So 10 days go by, and Jeremiah gets the answer from God after 10 days. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, and he gives him the answer. But the problem is, it wasn't the answer that they wanted to hear. So look at chapter 43. They wanted to know, should we stay in Jerusalem or should we go to Egypt? And basically, Jeremiah is saying, stay in Jerusalem, don't go down to Egypt. Look what it says in chapter 43, verse 1. It came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, these are the same guys who just asked him, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. Now who was Baruch, the son of Neriah? That's his scribe. That's his help. That's basically Jeremiah's follower. That's his servant. And they're saying, well, he's actually the one pulling your strings. And he told you to tell us that. And he told you to say that. Says in verse 4, so Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. Now, isn't that an amazing story? These people come to him in chapter 42 and say, look, just tell us, just preach us the truth. We just want to hear the truth. Just tell us what to do, no matter what the answer is. If it's to stay, if it's to go, if it's to go, we'll do it. And then he says, okay, here's the answer. Stay here. No, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do that. You know, you're lying. Now go through with 2 Timothy chapter 4. You see, oftentimes people believe what they want to believe. And a lot of people, they act like they want to know the truth. And they act like, you know, we could apply this today to coming to church. You know, they go to Jeremiah, who's a preacher. And they say they want to hear the truth preached. They say that they're going to obey God. They say that they love God. But when it comes down to it, they only want to obey God when He tells them what they want to hear. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Watch this verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said the time's going to come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having it too. It's like they'll amass to themselves all kinds of preachers and teachers and prophets who will tell them what they want to hear. Who will scratch them behind the ears and tell them what they want to hear instead of them coming to God's house and wanting a man of God to preach the Word of God and just give it to them straight. Just tell us what God said. Instead, they want him to tell them what they want to hear. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And then we're going to go to James 1. So we're going to go to Isaiah 30 and then we're going to go to James 1. It says in Isaiah 30, verse number 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You see, they're going to the preacher and saying, tell us what we want to hear. Now, wouldn't it make more sense if they don't care what God says to just not even go to the preacher at all? Not even go to church at all? Why even go to church? Why even go through it? Because they want to pretend that they care what God says. They want to give lip service and say, we love God. We want to obey God. And if the preacher tells us something that we don't want to hear, well, we'll just say, well, that's not really what God said. Well, that's not really the truth then. We need something a little more smooth. That's a little too rough for us to handle. Look at James chapter 1. And this is a perfect example in James 1 of how today's Christians, in many cases, they will give a lot of lip service to the fact that they want to love God and obey God and follow God. But when it comes down to it, they want to be preached a message that they want to hear. Look at James 1:27. This is what the people in America today don't want to hear. This is what they don't want. James 1:27 is what they don't want. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And today, the word religion is literally like a cuss word to Christians. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I talk to Christians all the time and they say, oh man, we don't believe in religion. I hate religion. We've got a relationship.
Right.
No, we don't want a religion. We just got a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, the word relationship's not in the Bible. And guess what? The word religion is. And it's funny how people will turn this into a bad word. Does it look like a bad word in James 1:27?
No.
God's telling us pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted in the world. I saw a billboard. I was driving down the freeway, I saw a billboard. I'll censor it a little bit. It said, religion, I'll just change what it said a little bit. Religion stinks. And it was an advertisement for a church. It said something a little bit more stronger than that. I'm just toning it down a little bit too. Religion stinks. And it's an advertisement for a church. Because we're taught to say that religion's a bad word. Because let me tell you something, the people in America today, they're Christians, they don't want religion. You know why? They don't want to visit the fatherless and the widows right. in their affliction, and they dead sure don't want to keep themselves unspotted from the world. That's why they don't want religion. That's why they just want their relationship. Well, guess what? If you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you better walk in the light as He is in the light. Because if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, then He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you see, people don't want to admit that they sin. They don't want to confess that. They don't want to walk in the light as He is in the light. They want to live in sin and think that they have a relationship with God. Look, I'm not saying that they're not saved. You can be saved and just, all you got to do to be saved, just believe in Jesus Christ. But religion takes a little more than that. Walking in the light involves hard work. It involves being a disciple of Christ, taking up the cross daily and denying yourself and following Him. You see, being saved is just the beginning. Being saved is by faith alone. Being saved is a gift of God, not of works the same as you both. Being saved is believe only. Being saved is eternal life that can never be lost. But living the Christian life is a daily battle of denying self and taking up the cross and following Him. And yet people today literally think that religion is a bad word. I mean, that shows what people don't want to hear. And I constantly ask myself this. Why do people listen to some of these famous preachers that you see on TV? You know, the Joel Osteen. Like just today, when some of our soul winners were out, and who was it though? Was it you? Brother Chris Broughton knocks on the door this afternoon, and he's trying to give the gospel. And this lady says, I was just watching Joel Osteen, and he literally was just saying that someone would come and knock on my door and it would deceive me. That's what she said. She said, Joel Osteen was literally preaching today that people were going to come to my house and knock on my door and try to deceive me. And Chris Brown's thinking, like, he's talking about me, you know? But why do they love Joel Osteen? Why do they love the boring, lame, effeminate preachers of today? And you see, because they're smooth, exactly. They want the smooth preaching. And there are so many preachers like Joel Osteen and other preachers who are just so smooth. But honestly, let me just break this down to you. I spent 5 years as a teenager in the new evangelical movement. For 5 years, I went to these churches as a teenager. And I've been saved ever since I was 6 years old. So I was saved, you know. But I was a teenager, and I went to these churches, and they had the rock and roll band. They had the NIV, no soul winning, never would preach on sin. The word hell never even came out of my pastor's mouth the whole time I went to church there. Not even once. Like it didn't even exist. And I went there for 5 years, and let me tell you something. It is the most boring place to be. It's painfully boring. And I remember when I first got into an independent fundamental Baptist church, I would still go to my liberal church in the morning because they had the early service and the later service. So I would go to the early 8 or 9 o'clock service at the liberal church because that's where all my friends were. So I'd go to the liberal service, and the pastor would preach for 20 minutes, and it seemed like 2 hours. Then we would drive across town to the Fundamental Baptist Church at Regency Baptist, and the pastor would preach for like an hour and 20 minutes. And it seemed like 5 minutes. And when it was over, after like an hour and 15 minutes, it was like, oh man, you know, I was just getting into this sermon. You know, I want more. And literally, the liberal church was so short. I mean, it was like you were in a time warp. It like defied the laws of reality. Like, there's no way this has only been 3 minutes. You know, he's been talking for hours. It's like we're 3 minutes into it. But why? Why would they go to a boring church where they don't even learn anything, where it's just the same thing, where it's just so watered down? Why? Because people don't want to hear the truth, but they want to go through the motions of being spiritual.
Right.
So they want to say, I go to church. Yeah, I went to church, and I brought my Bible, and I dressed up nice, and they can check it off that they went to church, but they don't want to hear the truth. And the reason that these preachers are so popular is because they won't step on anybody's toes. That's why. I was thinking about people that I know. And there are people that I know who love these. And you know, the guy that I ripped on this morning, that Calvinist guy, John Piper, you know, I know people who really love him and they really love these other, you know, preachers. And I look at their life and basically they do a lot of drinking. I'm talking about these people that I know who love these preachers. They do a lot of drinking. And then, by the way, this is a pastor that I'm thinking of. Okay, he's a pastor. He does a lot of drinking. His wife does a lot. His wife goes to bars and drinks. They watch all the R-rated videos and the DVDs. I'm talking about a pastor now that I know. Okay? And they love John Piper. You know, and they love... And then you list all these big-name, famous, you know, type preachers. And they love these guys. And I'll tell you why. It's because these guys are not ripping on their sin. And these people do no soul winning. Well, he's not going to tell them that they need to be out soul winning. And you see, a preacher that's going to be popular is the one that's going to tell you, you don't need to be worried about going out to the widows and the fatherless. You want to talk about the fatherless, you know, go out soul winning with us to the ghettos. You know, half those people are fatherless, my friend. You know, going out and knocking the doors and preaching the gospel to every creature, that's not what people want to hear when they come to church. They don't want to hear that the world's going to hell and then we need to go out and preach the gospel and get them saved. That's not what they want to hear. They want a little pick-me-up. They don't want to hear that we ought to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. They don't want to hear that the movies that the world puts out are filled with smut and filled with sodomy and filled with fornication and filled with ungodliness. They don't want to hear you preach against their TV show and Seinfeld and Friends. They don't want to hear their movies ripped on and their rock and roll music ripped on. And they don't want you to call out their sins. And they don't want you to challenge them to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And to care about and love the fatherless and the widow. And not just sit in your little ivory tower of your life somewhere. And isn't God so good? Isn't he good? You know, and there's just, we have such a relationship, don't we? And we've got such a fancy building. And we're so comfortable. And we have such a nice car. And we have such a nice house. And isn't it just great? Isn't God just good to us? Well, that's what everybody likes to hear. And God is good. But God's mad, too. And they don't want to hear about that. God wants us to go to work. He says, son, go work today in my vineyard. But they don't want to hear that. God says to keep yourself unspotted from the world. God says, love not the world. God says, I'll send no wicked thing before mine eyes. God says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. God said, woe unto them that tarry long at the wine and go to seek mixed wine. And look not on the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color, the cup, when it moveth itself right. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy mouth shall utter perverse things. That's what the Bible says about alcohol. It says you'll see strange women that you shouldn't be looking at, and you'll say perverse things when you're under the influence of alcohol. But they don't want to hear that. They'd rather hear a smooth preacher. Now, Pastor Anderson is not the smoothest preacher in the world, by the way. You know, you just look at my face and see that I'm not that smooth. But honestly, it's not about being smooth. It's about being right. It's about preaching the truth. It's about giving a clear message. And when they went to Jeremiah, they should have known that they're going to get the truth. It might not be what they like, but it's the truth. And you know, if you look at Jeremiah's message that he gave in Jeremiah 42, it wasn't a totally negative message. Actually, it was a pretty positive message. Considering all the bad stuff these people have done, he was actually giving them a second chance. He actually told them, he said, you know what, God's willing to forgive everything you've done. God's willing to let all that go if you'll just do the right thing right now. If you'll just stay in Jerusalem and serve the king of Babylon, God will bless you and God will stop pouring out his wrath on you. But if you disobey, God's going to punish you. God's going to kill you and destroy your whole family. So it wasn't a totally negative message. It just wasn't what they wanted to hear. It just wasn't what they needed to hear at that time. And so they basically just decided to just lie to themselves and say, well, that didn't really come from the Bible anyway. Look at the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. And let me read for you another verse. Amos chapter 5 verse 10 says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. The Bible says that, you know, when you speak right and when you speak uprightly, people are going to hate you for that. People don't want to hear that. The majority doesn't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. But he says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So, the scorner versus the just man, or the wise man. The scorner doesn't want to learn anything new. He's happy with what he already knows. He doesn't want to learn anything new. And he dead sure doesn't want to be rebuked or told that he's wrong. He wants to continue being the same way that he is right now. He doesn't want to change anything, doesn't want to change his view, and he doesn't want to change his life. So he wants to go to a church that already fits him, that's just going to tell him what he wants to hear and tell him what he already believes, and basically to tell him what he was going to do anyway. I mean, these people in Jeremiah 42, they were going to go to Egypt no matter what. They already decided. And Jeremiah even said to him, even when you asked me, you already knew what you were going to do. You'd already dissembled in your heart, and you were going to go down to Egypt no matter what I told you. So basically, they already knew what they wanted to do, and they're only going to obey God if it's what they wanted to do anyway. I mean, think about that. For example, you know, let's say my wife and I, for example, you know, we're married, right? And the wife is supposed to obey the husband, according to the Bible. So, like, what if the only time my wife obeyed me was just when she wanted to do that anyway? You know, if I say to her, you know, honey, make tacos for dinner tonight. Okay? You know, and she's already got the hamburger meat thawed, and she's already got the corn tortillas ready to go. And I said, you know, honey, make tacos. She said, yes, dear. But she's already planning on doing it. But what if she wanted to make pizza tonight? And I said, honey, you know, and I don't tell my wife what to cook because I don't really care. But I'm just using an example. I just, whatever's put on the plate, I just eat it. I don't make special requests usually. But let's say I said, no, honey, we're having tacos tonight. She said, no, we're having pizza. And I said, no, we're having tacos. You're going to make tacos because that's what I want. Now that's where obedience even takes place. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if you're going to do it anyway, then it's not really obedience. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I mean, they're going to go down to Egypt, so they figure, well, we got a 50-50 chance. Let's see what God says. And if he says what we were going to do anyway, great. Now we're obeying God. And if he tells us to stay here, we'll just not listen. We just won't obey. I mean, isn't that dumb? It doesn't even make sense, does it? But you see, this is what people want. They want to come to church and hear everything preached that they already know and that they already believe and that they're already doing. And they say, fine, I just can't find a church. You know, I'm searching for a church and I can't find one. Because I'm looking for a church that believes exactly like me and that tells me to do everything that I'm already doing and that preaches to me all the sermons of the Bible of stuff that I already know. That's what I'm looking for. But that's literally what most people are looking for in a church. When in reality, they ought to be looking for the church that'll tell them something that they don't know. And tell them to change something that needs to be changed. Because nobody's perfect. Nobody's arrived. We all have something to learn. And so we should be going to some place that's going to tell us something different. That's going to challenge us to do more for God. That's going to challenge us to maybe get some sin out of our life that needs to come out of our life. That's going to tell us what we don't already know about the Bible. That's called learning. Something that you didn't know before, and then you went to church and you walk away and you know something that you didn't know. That's the definition of learning. Amen. Going to church and hearing stuff that you already know is not learning. Right. It sounds basic, but you know, I'm breaking this down to you. So we see two kinds of people, the scorner. So that's the scorner, right? He wants to just go to the place that tells him to do everything that you're doing already. Amen. Preach it, brother. Come on. You know, he wants to just go and say amen to that. But you see, the wise man wants to be rebuked. He likes to have someone point out where he's wrong so that he can fix it. It says in Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. You reprove that other guy, that scorner, he's going to hate. He's going to say, I hate that church. That's why I go down the street over here. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love thee. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So the opposite guy is the wise man. He wants to come to a place where he's rebuked. And he also wants to come to a place where he's learning new things. Where he's increasing in knowledge. Do you see that wording? Increasing his knowledge. He's learning more. He's getting taught how to do things. He's being instructed in the truth. I remember me and my good friend Roger Jimenez, we used to, you know, we went to the same church when he was just a teenager and I was a real young adult. And we went to the same church, and I remember we'd gone to that church for years. And I remember we were out to lunch one time, and Brother Roger and I were talking about this and saying, you know, sometimes I just feel like, you know, we've heard the preaching and we're kind of doing everything that's being preached. And we said we kind of miss that feeling of going to church and getting our face ripped on something that we're wrong about. You know what I mean? Because it's like we've already kind of got we've got a lot of this stuff down. It's like, man, I want to go to church. I love that feeling where you're just getting ripped, you know, like, and where you're being rebuked because you want to grow. You know, you want to learn. You want to move forward. And it's, you know, we wanted to hear some preaching. Let me just put it to you in a different way. We wanted to hear some preaching that would challenge us. And when we got those kind of sermons, those were the sermons that we liked the most at that church. When we got challenged on something, we were looking for something. And we were joking about the fact that the more you get right in your life, the less sermons are really applying to you. You know, because you get, okay, I got that one straightened out. And so you keep getting new sermons, and a lot of them, you know, you've already got that straight, already got that straight. But then you get to that one where he really, you know, hits on your sin. And you're almost just like, yeah, come on, hit me again. You know? It's called wisdom. Wanting to be corrected. Wanting to learn something new. Wanting to change. Wanting to grow. Wanting to get better. I mean, think about it. Let's say you wanted to do a workout. You know, I did a workout a week and a half ago with my brother-in-law. You know, and he said, I'm gonna show you this workout. And he had all the weights and everything. He had this thing all set up in his backyard. It was some kind of workout that I'd never been exposed to. Some CrossFit or something. It's the new craze or something. So he's like, okay, I'm going to show you this new workout. I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, because I was working in Sacramento, so he was going to do this workout with me before I went to my job. And I did this workout, and it was really challenging because it was a lot different than anything I'd ever done. And the next day, I was really sore, you know, because it used all different muscles than what I was used to. Now, that's what you would look at that and say, hey, that was a good workout, right? Why? Because it caused pain. Are you listening? Because it meant that I'm growing. It means that I'm getting stronger. But if my brother-in-law would have taken me aside and said, hey, I got this workout for you, and it's just, you know, it's just really easy. I would have said, that wasn't a very good workout. You know, I was weak. That didn't do anything for me. I'm not getting anything out of this. This is a waste of my time. I'm not accomplishing anything. But that's how it is, too, with coming to church. You know, you want to come to church, you might be a little sore the next day. You know, consult a physician before, you know, attending Faith Forward Baptist. But you know, you might be a little sore the next day. You know, it might hurt a little bit. Oh. But you know what? That means that you're growing. That means you're getting stronger. That means that you're challenged. You know, you're learning something. And that's what it ought to be. And a wise man, he's looking for rebuke. He's looking to grow. He's looking to progress. He's looking to be challenged. He wants to do something new. Just as somebody who's looking for a workout, they're looking for a workout that's going to push them to the limit so that they can go further. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You see, sometimes the person who rebukes you is actually your true friend. And the one who tells you everything you want to hear is actually an enemy. So you got to be careful that you look at the source of things and understand that, you know, God's word is the authority. And if somebody's rebuking you from God's word, they're actually, it's probably because they love you. It's probably the truth. Look, if you would, at John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter number 3. You think about it, kids in school, you know, they go to school and they love that class that's an easy class, right? Oh man, this class is easy. So easy. Like just every test, I mean, the teacher's probably giving you the answer. It's so easy. But you know what, when an adult goes to a class when they're trying to learn something, they don't want it to be easy. Oh man, it's so easy. I mean, it's so basic. It's so simple. No, because an adult actually wants to get something out of that class and learn something. Not just, oh, I'm just trying to get through this class to get to recess. You know, and that's how it is when you're a kid. You just want that easy class. You know, when you're in high school, there's like thousands of students. I went to high school with about 2,000 students. So you pretty much can choose. And it's like, hey, take chemistry with this guy. He's easy. Right? Hey, you better get in biology with this guy. Don't take Mr. So-and-so. That's hard. But it's just an immature attitude of wanting to learn as little as possible. But to just put in your time and get that grade and get that A. And that's how it is with church, too. Just, you know, hey, go to so-and-so Baptist. It's easy. I mean, it sounds like a joke, but literally, I've heard people talk like this. Man, if you just show up at that place 3 times a week and you'll be the star down there. I've literally heard people talk like this. Man, you want to be a big fish in a little pond? Go down to that church. I mean, your face will be in the bulletin every week. If you just show up and just do the minimum, man, you're going to be all over the bulletin. Because they're just, you know, that church is dead. You go soul winning for a half hour, you're going to like break a record with those people. You know what I mean? And it's kind of the mentality. Yeah, it's easy down there. You know, Faithful Word Baptist is too hard. I mean, everybody's out doing all the soul winning and stuff. Yeah, and it's like nobody's making you do anything anyway. Right. Nobody's expecting it. But you know, people don't like it when other people around them are doing stuff that they don't want to do. You know, they don't like to go to a soul winning church if they're not soul winning. Because then it's like, oh man, it's making me look bad. Everybody else is soul winning. You know, I'm not doing it. And everybody's welcome, but you know. Look at John 3:19. It says, this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, this is an interesting verse. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. So the Bible tells us that when we have sin in our life, when we have evil in our life, we don't want to go somewhere that's going to expose that. Like, let's say I have a particular sin in my life. I don't want to go to a church that's going to point that out. And I'm not saying point me out, but I mean just preach that. I want to go to a church that condones my sin. Right? I mean, if I've got sin, I want to go to a church that condones it. Because no one who does evil wants to just step into the light and be exposed. So, for example, let's say I'm a man and I have this flowing long hair. Right? Do you think I'm going to go to a church that just rips and says, you know, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair? I'm not going to go back to that church. I'm either going to do one of two things. I'm going to get a haircut, or I'm probably going to quit going to that church. Mm-hmm. Now look, I preached on men not having long hair because it's biblical. I mean, the Bible makes it clear that men should have short hair and ladies should have long hair. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but a woman's hair is a glory unto her. The Bible's real clear. 1 Corinthians 11 spells that out, that you know, men should have short hair, ladies should have long hair. There should be a difference in appearance between men and women in their clothing, in their hair, in the way that they look and act. There should be a clear difference between man and woman. Now, I preached that sermon, and there were men who came with long hair that day, and I'm not going to change my sermon. Like, if I see a man walk in and he's got long hair, I'm not going to add that to my sermon. Oh, somebody's got long hair. I have to ring that bell this morning. But at the same time, if it's in my sermon and a guy walks in with long hair, I don't say, oh, better get a new sermon. You know, I keep a little stack of extra sermons just in case. You know, just in case I hit the nail a little bit too closely on the head. No, I don't change it. So I've preached that with men here with long hair. I've done it. And, you know, you could go down the list of other things I've preached where people were here guilty of whatever I was preaching. And I wasn't doing it intentionally. And it was no harm to them. And, you know, hey, after the service, I make sure to make a beeline to that person. Hey, how you doing? Glad you're here. God bless you. You know, just to show them, I don't have it in for them. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm just preaching the truth up here, you know. you know, if the shoe fits, you know, it's not my fault. But let's face it, you know and I know that that guy's either getting a haircut or he's not coming back. Not because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he can come here every week with long hair, and that's fine with me. I'm not going to throw him out. No problem. You know, that's between him and God. I'm not trying to tell people what to do. But the fact of the matter is, you know and I know that he's either not going to come back or he's going to get that haircut. Because of the fact that people don't like to be reproved. They don't like to be rebuked, especially not publicly. And he said, open rebuke is better than secret love. You know that open rebuke? People don't like it. And I never preach specifically, never. I never point out certain people, hey, Brother So-and-so, you need to straighten this out. I've noticed in your life, you know. I basically am just preaching the Bible, but people know, people apply it to themselves. No, I'm not thinking, I'm never thinking of specific people when I preach. I'm just preaching the Bible. But people don't want to hear it, and that's what keeps a lot of people from going to a good church. Sin in their life is what takes them out of a good church and puts them in a lame church. Because they just can't take it. And let me tell you something, you've got to get over that in your life. You've got to decide in your life, I'm going to be that wise man. Where when somebody rebukes me and it applies to me, and it's my TV show that's getting hit, and it's my music that's getting hit, and it's my lifestyle that's getting hit, and it's my sin that's getting hit, and it's my haircut that's getting hit, I'm just going to say, you know what? I need to be hearing this. This is helping me. This is challenging me. This is pushing me to a new level. We got to get that attitude where we decide we're going to be the wise man, not the scorner. And not come to church, or not come to a pastor, or not even, and you know, I'm talking about church and a pastor. Really, same thing with your Bible reading. You ought to come to your Bible reading with an attitude that says, whatever God says, I'm going to do it. Not looking to make the Bible fit what you already think, and the way that you live your life, make the Bible fit that. But rather going to the Bible and saying, how does God want me to live my life, and what do I need to change? What do I need to fix? What am I wrong on? What do I need to learn? What do I need to correct? That's how we need to come to church. That's how we need to come to our Bible reading every day. Come to the Bible and say, okay, what do I need to fix here? What can I learn that's new here? What can I change today? And that right there will change your life right there if you get that down. And figure out the fact that you are not perfect. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. And so we should be on a quest to be rebuked. We should be searching for new information to increase learning, to increase our knowledge, and to constantly be growing. And if you're in a church, and look, if you're in this church and you're not growing at all and you're not learning anything and you're not being challenged, then you know what? Go to some other church that will challenge you. But you need to be in a church that motivates you and challenges you and teaches you something new. Not where you just go every week to get a pat on the back. You know? I'm tithing. The pastor's preaching on tithing. Great. Love it. Amen! Pastor's preaching on reading the Bible. I read my Bible every day. Amen! That's right. You know? That guy needs to hear this. Hey, the pastor's ripping on long hair on men. Well, my hair is nice and short. Amen! Say that again! But then when he gets on your sins, oh man, you know, what's the deal? And look, you may not even agree with everything that I preach. Maybe I preach something out of the Bible and you don't see it that way. And you say, well, I just think he's wrong about that. Okay, well, so what? You can still keep coming to church. You know, you have to agree with every little thing. But it's like people don't like you to preach against anything that applies to them, even if they don't even believe in it. You got to just lighten up and be able to take it. When somebody preaches hard, you got to be able to handle that hard preaching. If you're going to be a wise man, if you're going to learn, if you're going to grow, if you're going to progress. It's like that workout. There's going to be a little bit of soreness, a little pain, a little bit of stiffness. Okay? But shake it off, you know, that means you're growing. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word and for the wonderful things that you teach us, dear God, and for the truths that are therein. And I thank you so much, God, that I know that I have not arrived. And so I thank you that there's always more to learn and that there's always more. Every time I read my Bible, I can learn something new and something different. And I thank God, I thank you, God, that you didn't just, that you don't just tell us the same things over and over again, but that rather you've given us this huge book of information. Father, please just help me to take my own advice tonight and to take a rebuke and to read the Bible and change. And Father, help everyone in our church to constantly be challenged and motivated to do more and to learn more. Help us not be like these people in Jeremiah 43. And please just bless the refreshments that we have after the service. And give Brother Stuckey a safe trip. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.